This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We've got a new thing going on with our Wealth and Poverty Desk, a podcast called The Uncertain Hour. And this first season that has just started is all about what we know about welfare reform 20 years after we ended welfare as we know it. It was a domestic policy high point for President Clinton, but in the cold light of history, sometimes things look different. Our senior correspondent, Chrissy Clark, has the preview of this week's episode. Hey, Chrissy.
Hey, Kai.
So you have been looking into how all these changes, like work requirements, played out in the lives of actual real people.
Yeah.
20 years ago, it turns out, on this very radio program, we profiled a woman who was like moving into that new system. Her name was Josephine Moore. She lived in rural West Virginia up in coal country.
Right. Yeah. Way before you or I were here at Marketplace, we talked to this woman on the show, this woman named Josephine Moore, or Jo for short. She was a single mom with six kids. Her husband was in prison. She'd been on and off welfare for over a decade when we met her, trying to support her kids on her own. And she lived in this little coal mining town in West Virginia called Kermit.
Wow.
It was super depressed. Here she is in 1997 from back then, giving a tour of the place.
This used to be an IGA and a Piggly Wiggly's groceries, but it went out of business. This used to be a shoe store. It went out of business about 6 months ago.
And so the deal was, of course, given how bad the economy was back then, she was worried about how she was going to get by after all the work requirements and time limits and all that.
Right, exactly. And she was really frank about this.
Everybody that's on welfare in the United States, I don't know how they're going to get everybody a job. I just don't know how. I don't think they can. You can't just cut it off and say sink or swim, because we're talking about people.
You being the reporter I know you to be, you went out and found her, didn't you?
We did. Me and our crack team of producers. We found Jo.
Hi.
Hello. So nice to meet you. So today, Jo is 59. She still lives in Kermit, West Virginia, in this small trailer up a very steep and muddy driveway, which is why you could hear me panting.
Huffing and puffing, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I'm panting in that tape.
So what's the answer to the question? Did she sink or did she swim, like she was talking about?
Well, I guess the short answer is she's treading water.
Huh.
Since welfare reform kicked in, she never went back on welfare, and neither have her kids. She has had a series of jobs, and her kids have too, but they're not especially high-paying jobs. They are jobs, though.
Yeah.
She's worked at a bunch of customer service call centers, a Tyson chicken plant.
Ooh, that's rough work.
Yeah.
Nothing smells like that chicken skin stuff that they peel off. And when that stuff gets filled up in that oh, Lord. Turn your stomach, but then you learn to breathe through your mouth, and it's not bad at all.
Man, tell me then how this fits in with the national trend in welfare reform.
So it is true that after welfare reform, single mothers did have higher rates of employment. And that was true across the country. But if you drill down on those statistics, they get a little more complicated. For one, overall, the economy was doing better in the mid to late 90s. Right. So there were just more jobs to be had. And for another, the jobs that many single mothers did get, like Jo, they were really low paying. And wages have been stagnating since then. So even if they got off welfare and into jobs, it's not like they've seen a lot of economic mobility. Here's Jo and her daughter Carolina talking about that.
Yeah, I'm poor. Always been poor.
Poor just trying to make it.
So if they're still poor, but they're not on welfare, how do they get by?
Well, that's one of the really big questions in the wake of welfare reform, because across the country, welfare rolls have dropped. There are far fewer people on welfare. But a lot of them either have these sorts of low-paying jobs and are still hovering just above poverty, or they've fallen out of the workforce entirely. And so to make ends meet, people have gone to some pretty shocking lengths, things like selling plasma.
They stick a needle in your arm, which I have a scar like right here from where they used to do it. Take about an hour and a half, and then they would give you 20 for your first visit for the week and then 30 for your second visit for the week, and then you could do it weekly.
That was Jo's daughter, Estella. And in fact, in the last 20 years, following welfare reform, the U.S. has become known as the OPEC of plasma. Because researchers actually connect some of this growth to the fact that there are very few ways to get cash assistance now. And so selling plasma is a way to get cash when you don't have cash welfare.
Man, those stories and more coming up on the new podcast from our Wealth and Poverty Desk. It is called The Uncertain Hour, featuring Chrissy Clark. Thank you, Chrissy.
Thanks so much.